Hello, it's your favorite Public Words Project gal, Anne-Marie Williams, and I'm here with a very special neighbor.
Yes.
Talented neighbor. Talented, gorgeous, smart.
I will take all of this. Keep it coming, please.
This is my neighbor. We live here in the building, and it's gorgeous. Just want to let you know. Mm-hmm. It's everything you're going to think it is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yes. The building's full of love. You know that.
It is. Yes. It is.
Yeah. So I cornered you and said, please
really corner me, but yeah.
So what I'd like to know is the first thing is we just want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. And then, but I want you to like first give us your full name, the way you want it said.
Oh, okay. Well, there's two ways. It'd just be like Ariel Juana Paredes, but Ariel Paredes, yeah. But you could say, you know, Ariel Paredes. So it just, you know.
I'm so pocha, so I'll just say it. I'll say what?
Ariel. Say Ariel. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you don't have to be like, Ariel. You say Ariel. It's fine.
So
it's just not Ariel.
Such a burden.
No, Ariel's my nightmare.
Okay, I just got confused. What am I going to call you?
Ariel. Because
Ariel.
Because you're a little mermaid,
okay. Don't tell me the other thing.
No, I know. I shouldn't. I just put it out there and I'm going to take it back. Take it back.
I'm just like, Ariel. Oh, Ariel. Okay, good.
Just think the three letters, R-E-L.
R-E-L.
You can't go wrong.
You're like, okay. Ariel. Got it. All right. So tell me. This is a getting to know you portion. We know your name. How did you get this name?
It's actually a very interesting story.
That's what I love.
So while my mom was pregnant with me, she was going back and forth with a couple names. And my dad had like an awful name. He was like, I'm going to name you Octavia. And she's like, that'll never happen. And he was like, she was like, I like the page. And he's like, absolutely not. I'm like, over my dead body. So then she was reading Sylvia Plath, the Ariel poems.
Okay.
And I kicked. And she was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to name her, Ariel.
Oh, so, you're an intellect even in the womb.
Right?
An artist even in the womb.
I knew. I just knew.
Oh, my God. Sylvia Plath. Yeah. Ooh, you're a suffering artist?
Yeah, my mom was. Maybe she, like, passed it into the womb. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what she was reading when I kicked.
Oh, my God. And to the ladies named Octavia, it's a great name.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Because Octavia Spencer, it's a fantastic name. It just didn't work for me.
I was going to be Yvette.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to be a Yvette Guerrero.
Okay, yeah. That's different.
Yeah, and that's not. No, my birth name was Ana Maria Guerrero.
But that's like that has a flow.
Yeah, my mom watched. You may be too young for this. The show called That Girl.
And do not know it. But
and Marlo Thomas was in it, and it was about this young woman who moved to some city, and her first name was Anne. Mm-hmm. Her last name was Marie. So they called her in the show Miss Marie, but her name was Anne Marie. And my mom's like, oh, I like that. So then she put the Mexican spin on it, the Latin thing. So,
oh, yeah. Now I have to look the show up. Okay. So,
and I met her once. She wasn't very nice to me.
Oh, you were like, that's my name, though.
Yeah, like, you know, like you're a young intern at the Mark Taper, or, you know,
yeah.
And like, you know, so bright-eyed and everything's going to be awesome. And Miss Thomas, how could it? And she was just so awful to me. I was just like, I walked out of the room. I was like, okay, well, I can't help you at all. Mm. So... yeah, that was my first taste of like,
yeah.
Anyway, enough about me. So we know your name and the reasons. So tell me, where are you from?
I was born, I never ever admit this because I don't connect to it at all, but I was born in New Jersey. But
like
I just,
Ruffy. What's with the, okay,
Jersey, but I moved to Pittsburgh by the time I was two. So I'm from Pittsburgh. Okay. That's where my life is and was. And then I went to college in Boston and then lived in New York City. And now I'm here.
Okay.
But I do have Pittsburgh pride, and it does not like Detroit. I just want people to know, like, Pittsburgh's a beautiful city. Like, I just have to defend it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I left when I was 18, but, like, it's a beautiful city.
Are you a Steeler fan?
Hardcore. Don't you hear me?
Oh my,
we're neighbors. No. I don't know
how you hear. You?
Yeah, that's me shouting every time there's, like, a touchdown.
Bridget next door.
It's me going crazy every time. Like, it's very intense. It's
okay.
Intense.
Jeannie Libertor, who I grew up with in Southgate. Jeannie, I always make you listen to these podcasts because you're one of three people who listen to them. I got a Steeler fan here, Jeannie.
Yes.
So when you come over, we're going to have to introduce you to her. Okay.
Right. I'm diehard.
Go Steelers. I don't, yeah. I'm not a football fan anymore. When the Rams left in the 70s, I was done.
Oh,
so
they're back and they're doing well.
Yeah,
okay.
But you know.
I get it.
Okay. So I know where you're from. So,
yeah.
So you told me a couple of cities. So tell me your favorite city growing up.
Okay. Well, interesting. So I'm from Pittsburgh, which is just like home and infinity towards. But my parents weren't together, so my dad lived in Philadelphia for a bit and Chicago and D.C. So I got to grow up going to all these kind of cities. So let's see. Out of all those cities, I mean, Chicago was really fun because it was just so different. You know what I mean? It was just like, it was a great city, but it was like the Midwest and there was like house music. So my dad would take me, these underground places and I'd get like.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Your dad's cool, huh?
He is. I have cool parents. So yeah. we would get these, like, all these, like, I loved house music. So I'd get these, like, house mixes. And, yeah, so it's fun. It was a fun town, fun city. I was bummed when he left. It was freezing, but it was a fun city.
Yeah, we don't get this. That we don't get freezing here. Not no. In Southern California.
Not at all. But your blood changes. I'm from the East Coast, and I'm like, ooh, it's cold. It's 60.
Okay, so my friend from Detroit. I have two friends from Detroit, Sam and Marla. I have a friend from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Dane. Yeah. And he's always like, I rode my bicycle in the snow, you know. And it's just like, I'm like, great. And they said now they get cold. Their blood is...
It's crazy. Your blood immediately changes. And you're like, I'm like, it's 60 degrees. Why am I like, oh my God, it's so cold.
Well, you know, we're not that far from the ocean. We're only 7 miles from the ocean.
It's cold. It's ocean damp. Cold. Yeah. There's like a dampness and it gets in your bones.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is.
Ocean cold to me is worse than like dry or desert cold. Like my parents live in Mammoth. So I'll go up to Mammoth and it'll be snowing. I'll be out there in jeans, the boots. Cause you have to have the boots on and like, a hoodie and
you feel okay.
You're like, what's going on? I'm like, there's no ocean. I'm fine. But you put me by the ocean. I got a scarf, a hoodie, gloves. I got thermals on.
So true. Although I went back east. I mean, I go back east for the holidays and I remember it was, I had gone into the mall, you know, shopping malls. And when I came back out to the car, it was so like the ice had just frozen on the window. Mm-hmm. So like I had to use the scrapers. You just like there's nothing to do but scrape the window. And I just remember laughing because of the absurdity. I was like, this is so cold. My brain can't even function. It was like 5 degrees. And I was like, how did I do this?
And then I learned also like when it snows, you have to put the windshield wipers up.
Yep, because they'll get stuck and then you can't be able to move them. Yeah.
This is stuff. I'm from Angeleno, born and bred. So it's just like, I know how to survive an earthquake.
Yeah.
And I know how to deal with, when it used to rain, we used to have rainstorms. But
Yeah, like black ice. Like people don't know, like never walk on black ice. Like always stay in the powdered snow. But people are like, oh, it's clear there. And I'm like, it's black ice. Yeah. You guys don't know these things.
Yeah, I know now. Yeah. Since I went, I learned my right butt cheek has learned 3 times.
Avoid black ice at all cost. We should talk about earthquake preparation at some point. Earthquake preparation.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to you like.
Oh, here?
Yeah. Well, how to survive it. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I got you covered. You know.
I have a kit.
Yeah. Well, I have a kit. You have a kit. But make sure you have shoes and socks nearby. Like, and if you sleep naked, have clothes by.
No, we're good on that. But thank you.
I'm just saying, because folks sleep naked. Like, you know, and then, like, I wear glasses, so I always make sure I have my glasses nearby.
Okay.
I was in downtown Pasadena for the Northridge earthquake. Ugh. And that's the first time I thought I was ever going to die in an earthquake. First time.
Really?
Because, like, I was on this fourth floor, brilliant brownstone. God, it was gorgeous. It was built in 1919, solid. Yeah. And they had retrofitted it.
Yeah.
And they had put the retrofit under the floor. Okay. But some of the buildings, they did this really beautiful steel crisscross. And I remember... I couldn't hear anything. Everything just started rattling. And then the retrofit stuff started coming up off the ground. What the hell? And then drywall started just shooting off. It was bad, but we'll have that conversation another time.
Yeah, the little baby earthquakes. And I was like, nah. Like, it's terrifying me because I'm like, the earth, like, I'm not moving, but yet I'm moving. Do you know what I mean? I wake up out of bed. It's just,
So we'll go over that some other time. But for the folks who come to LA, you know, always keep shoes and socks. And if you sleep naked, keep a bag of clothes right near your bed. Because some people like to do that. Let's see. So city, we got that. What's your favorite city growing up? So we got the house music one. But like this little girl coming up.
Okay.
Me about your favorite city.
Okay. Well, isn't it like a city? It's a little island and it's still as you will hold dear to me. So Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, you're a fancy Latina.
Uh-huh. So my family, we had a house, still do have a house there. So I grew up there every summer. And for me, it's just like magical. Like literally, it's just funny. I just showed Anne-Marie. I have a cup right now as I'm holding it with an MV sticker. And somebody was like, is that Mar Vista? And I was all offended. I was like, no, it's not Mar Vista. So that to me is my magical, happy place. It still is, always will be. Always. So that is like childhood dreams.
For good reason, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's nice. There's like no name brand stuff on the island. There's no lights. There's no traffic lights. It's just like people are nice. And you just like, you forget that. And it's just like, the people don't lock doors. I mean, I shouldn't tell anybody that, but doors aren't locked there. So you could easily walk into any home and you'll be fine.
There's a disclaimer here. We have a disclaimer against this.
Do not do that.
Don't do that.
But you could.
So how many presidents have you partied with over there? Because that's where all the presidents
go. It is. I know. Clinton started that whole craze. So, and then, yeah, Obama, like, he's my buddy. So Obama is always up there with the kid, the family and the kids. And like,
awesome.
It's really interesting because...
Have you seen them? Ever seen them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely see them for sure.
How and awesome is that?
It's crazy because also... this is the whole... when I was living in New York City, I used to work at HBO. So I was corporate. But my bosses, they were older than me. So now they have children who are like older and teens and stuff. And they go to the Vineyard. But their kids like hang with like Sasha and Malia. And it's just like... You know, I'm like, okay, all right, kids, like, you got it different than I did, but...
So I guess I'm technically could be 6 degrees from the Obama, so I'm happy with that right now.
Yes. Like, it's just the stories I get, I'm like, what? So it's fun.
That's
it's
very good time. Cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It's my happy place. Fancy.
So I was going to ask you what your favorite memory is, but that kind of like, is there a memory separate from that?
Well, okay.
I'm sure you got lots of favorite memories, right? You want to share one with us?
For sure. This one you'll appreciate. Okay, so.
You're funnier than I realized, just to let you know, but we'll get into that later.
Thank you.
Share.
So, like I said, my parents were separated, so I was on Martha's Vineyard, but my dad, who's half Colombian, half Dominican, it's a really interesting story. My grandmother, Providencia, she was Jackie Onassis's personal assistant.
What?
I know, crazy, right? So she's like, you can Wikipedia her, she's everywhere.
I've been living with like royalty for all this time.
I'm not. But so I would grow up then. So I was in the Vineyard, and then every year in the summer, like I would go over to the Kennedy compound over in Hyannis for like a week and a half my whole life as well. So that was really interesting. And it was really cool because, well, she was Dominican and she was working in the White House, and like the president's nickname for her was like the Mexican. And she's always like, you know, she was like, I'm no Mexican. Like, she was like, I'm Dominican. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're different. But they like, she was very forced to be reckoned with for sure. And so, you know, but her code name was like the Mexican.
Oh my
God. They were like, we need like, you know, we need the Mexican. And she's very Dominican. So that was, she was like, no, like, we're different. So,
yeah, just a little bit.
So that's an interesting memory for sure, growing up with all of them. And like, that was very interesting for sure.
I'm kind of, oh, that's very cool. You, not many people stymie me, but you just kind of stymie me right now in my own home. Wow, that's amazing. That's very cool. Okay, I'm going to be nicer to you now.
So I'll take it. Sure.
No, I dig you. You know that. Okay, so then I was going to ask you about a funny story and then one of your favorite family stories. But let's tell me a funny story about you.
Funny story about me? God, I don't know. That's weird. I feel like you'd have to ask other people. Okay, well, this is through my life, so it's not really a particularly individual story, but I am very expressive.
Okay.
I wish the audience would know I'm very expressive. So
she just gestures with her hands.
So growing up, like, you don't really, like, I don't hide much on my face. Like, it just shows I don't have a poker face. And so this thing became, I don't know, my friends, like, I'd make a face, like, I'd look at something and I just, like, whatever, you know, whatever my thoughts were, and they would just take their hand, put it in front of their face and shake it. You know, like a dry, you know, like, shake it clean. Like, what were those toys, like, the magic eraser? Etch-a-Sketch.
There you go.
I'm aging myself. I'm young, people. I'm young.
She's young.
My mom played with an Etch-a-Sketch. So they'd like Etch-a-Sketch my face and be like, change your face, change your face. So still to this day, like, I remember I was at HBO and I was corporate and I was just like in this meeting and it was like a budget meeting. And it was like, oh God, it was so boring. These Excel spreadsheets. And I just was like, that was my last. I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting here. How am I here? Like, how did I get here? And I looked at when I came out of it, my friend was looking at me and she was like, change your face. Like in the meeting. I was like, oh, let me pop out of this. So still to this day, like if someone smells, like just like, I can't hide it. It's just,
oh. It's a sketch. All right. That's your new WeHo name.
Yeah.
It's a sketch.
It's a sketch. Yeah. So.
And family story. Tell me one of your favorite family stories.
So Thanksgiving is like my favorite holiday, which is coming up.
Me too.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Because it's not about gifts. It's just like family and food and it's just like fun.
Yeah.
So my family on my mom's side, it's very interesting. We always get together and people who like maybe, you know, people in relationships, they come there and they enter into our family. It's, you know, we're a fun, loud family, but we always dance. So like after we eat, like the music will come on and nice. It becomes a dance party. Nice. And so just it never fails and just like shock of people says, and we're like, oh no, you're participating too. Like you're not getting out of this. And then
awesome.
So that's always like really fun. So we just dance somehow. Not just it ends and I feel like maybe a little exercise. I don't know, but
that's actually very, I'm just wondering, what do we do?
Yeah, what's your tradition?
I'm here a couple of times. We had some Thanksgivings up here. Mm-hmm. We usually go for walks afterwards.
That's nice. Yeah.
But my
it's too cold back east.
Yeah. Then when my grandparents were alive, it was more of an event because my grandfather had a hollow leg. That man could eat, and he was always muscle, right? But it was like it was when they passed away. Thanksgiving became a little different.
Yeah.
But what did we do? One year we rode the motorcycles as a family and found a restaurant. We went to some Denny's and out in the. That's out way out there.
That's so fun. So other people in the family ride motorcycles?
Yeah, my mom, my dad, and I all ride.
Stop.
I grew up on dirt bikes. My brother and I on dirt bikes. My dad's dirt bike guy.
What?
And then street bikes. My mom.
What?
Yeah. My mom has a beautiful Harley Davidson. She actually has two. My parents have two motorcycles. A Harley Davidson and, oh my God. The Italian one. It's over here on.
Ducati?
Yeah.
I can't believe I got that.
Yeah. Yeah. The one La Cienega. Yeah. They both have Ducatis and Harley Davidsons.
Oh, that is amazing.
So that was one tradition. That was one I loved for a long time. And then my mom changed it. So it's always about what my mom wants, which I'm totally fine with because I love her better than cheeseburgers.
Okay. I like that. Cheeseburgers are good.
So, but I like the dancing thing. I like that.
Yeah. Let's be dance. So, it never fails. Christmas, Thanksgiving, like that one never fails.
What kind of music?
It depends. House? Like sometimes, yes, that definitely is in there for sure. Yeah, so house music for sure. And then I would say probably house music because they're not like, you know, like Bruno Mars or something. Like Bruno Mars is like a big hit, you know, maybe they'll put that on, but it's pretty much house music, which is really interesting. So that's why I think music. My affinity. Yeah.
I have no idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some of your education. Like, where'd you go to school? What did you study?
I went to...
Did you like it?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Some people don't like getting an education. That's why I asked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I loved it. I mean, my family would have loved for me to keep going with it. They all have like PhDs and stuff. And I'm like, I'm good. I got a degree. you know, I'm like, they're like, those commercials come on that, you know, like get your degree at home in your pajamas. And they'll be like, you know, you can do that. And I'm just like, but you know, I graduated, right? Like I did go to college. And they're like, but you know, I'm just saying, you can keep going. So I went to Boston College, nice. Which is a Jesuit university. And Boston was like a great place to go to school. Cause I grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. So
well, let's go back a little bit. So where did you go to elementary school? Like, did you go to public school, private school? Because that seems to be some of the topics I'm covering. Like, I went to all private schools because I got kicked out. And then Wilson.
I'm sorry, did you say you got kicked out?
No, I was taken out. Sorry.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like,
I was bullied really badly in kindergarten and first grade at this school in Evergreen Elementary School. And it, me.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, because I was a nerd and smart. And this girl named Darla didn't like me.
You'll always remember, right?
But I have to tell you this. So Darla, like, tortured me, right? And I was in high school, I was hot, I was an athlete, I look in the mirror, I'm like, damn, you know. So I went to the McDonald's on Southgate over on Tweedy Boulevard, and I'm there with my
keep going, I just, this has to come full circle, this is amazing, keep going.
It is. And then I'm standing there with my best friend Eileen. We just finished from basketball practice, we were over there hanging out, and I turned around and there was this really broken down and dumpy woman with a kid. And I looked at her and I'm like, you're Darla, aren't you? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm Anne Marie.
No.
And I just smiled and like, I was just like, wow. And I walked out, I had this big smile on my face, and my friend Eileen was like, what's going on? I go, that girl beat me and spit on me and treated me horribly. And she's like, you just said, I'm Anne Marie. I go, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Look at her. Yeah. She's not unhappy. She's unhappy. Yep. You know, I'm like, I'm happy. And I'm just, she's already unhappy. She's in high school. I go, God, I hope that was not her kid, you know? So
it's crazy because I think sometimes you're always thinking like, oh, like when does karma happen for people, you know, because it's like because you can't in the moment you're like karma should be happening instantaneously. Yeah. But that was a full kind of karmic moment.
Yeah. So that's nice. I do that. I insert my life stories. But to go back to like though. So thank you.
Because I grew up in the suburbs. I went to public school. So it was like where I grew up, there were just three elementary schools. Okay. So whichever the one was closest to you, but then we all came together in fifth grade.
Okay.
So then we entered fifth and sixth grade, which was middle school. Mm-hmm. And then we all went to seventh and eighth grade, which was junior high. And then we all went to high school. Okay. So literally everybody that I grew up with, I've known since I was either six or since I was 10. So we are all still very close. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people aren't friends with the people who went to high school. And I'm like, oh, well, we just grew up together.
Yeah.
And so my high school is small. Out of my suburb, it was only 1,200, the whole school, the whole community. And so about 300 per grade. So we really knew each other. But my family did ask if I wanted to go to like boarding school in ninth grade and if I wanted to go away.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah.
That was never on the menu for me. Wow, that's interesting.
You went to private schools.
Well,
yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah,
but like, I'm sure my mom and dad wanted to send me away as a teenager, but we didn't have boarding schools in Southgate. Ha ha, mom and dad.
Yeah, I'm from the East Coast, so there were plenty. And they got me that big book, and I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm going to go to college. I don't want to like be in a dorm at 14. So, which I'm glad I didn't. I mean, I think it's great for people. But when I went to college at BC in New England, so many people were coming from these boarding schools. Okay. So that was interesting. Everyone's like, where'd you go? I went to Exeter and I went to Deerfield. And I was like, I went to Upper St. Clair High School. Like, do you know what I mean? And I was like, I was proud of my school. But like, okay. So that was actually interesting. But then I went to BC and that was a great sort of transition into like a city. It was fun. It was tons of colleges and universities, so I think it was a great growing city. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to stay there, but I was like, oh, this is a really fun city. Like, there's a lot happening. It just was like, it's different and fun, but I always knew that I was going to go to New York.
And what did you get your degree in?
Communications.
Okay.
So I wanted to keep it kind of neutral where it's like, oh, if I want to do advertising, public relations, like any of that kind of stuff, I would be able to do that. I wanted a general sort of, whether it be English or, but communications would really fit me. It fit me well.
And what is your family, what kind of degrees do they want you to continue to get?
I mean, God, they'd be so happy if you just went back to school for anything. I think probably more literary stuff. Okay. I think they'd be like, yeah, it's a very well-read family. So they'd be like, oh, you could go back and do this. But I was like, I don't want to teach. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I still think I'm a good writer, even though I didn't go to grad school for it. I'm fine.
Oh my God, I'm surrounded by PhDs right now. All my friends are PhDs. Yeah. I'm like, I just have one degree. I have a shitload of certificates. I went to Cal State Los Angeles.
Ah.
Yeah, I got my bachelor's there. I do. It's so funny you mentioned online. I'm like an online gal. Like I've learned so much by going to school back online. I have like three certificates.
Okay, so then maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe I'll be like,
you
got
have
this.
To be disciplined.
Yeah, because you got to do it at home.
Yeah, you have to do it on your time. Well, you know what? I did one of my history of graphic design on my phone. So like I would go for a bike ride and then I get to the beach and I would like, and there was nothing around. I put my headset in and because a lot of the times they're videos and you listen to them and you're reading on the phone. So
that's nice.
And then I can go back to you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
the audience needs to know more about you as well. Just saying, if your students are listening, it's just.
Yeah, so I went to Cal State Los Angeles.
Got it.
And my parents paid for that education. So I was fine, but.
That's good. Yeah,
okay, you got grad school. I'm like, never mind.
Grad school leave you in some serious debt.
Yeah, and I was just like, so I didn't really. I went to the grad school of hard knocks and learning and falling on your face.
Yeah, but you're so well adjusted, as I'm saying. Those people aren't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a secret podcast. Okay, let's see. So growing up, tell me something embarrassing about yourself.
I mean, I just have moments that to me felt like the end
of
the
world. Or do you get embarrassed?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, I had moments, there are a couple, thank you for making me cringe. There are a couple things that memories for me, I don't get embarrassed, but there's something like things that happen that I was like, oh, I'll never live that down. Like, to this day, there are three, and three's my lucky number. So maybe no one's going to get it. They're going to, it's such a stupid thing, but like, oh God, they always involve the cafeteria and like slipping. And you know, it's like that moment. It's like when you look good, you want to walk past the table, like, oh, there's somebody that's cute, you want to walk past the and I would slip. And then like, I remember, sixth grade, I'm just having a moment. There were two times this happened, twice, sixth grade and my freshman year of college. So thank you. I had gotten my food and like, I don't even drink fruit punch. Like, probably forever because of this. I only drink water. So I'm like, I slip and the fruit punch goes up in the air. And it just falls all over me and my face. And kids are cruel at 11, you know. It's like that. It was just like, oh, the joke for days. That was horrifying. And I had to walk around with fruit punch on me. And then in college, this one actually was worse. This was worse. My friends were all at the table. We were, you know, in the cafeteria. the dining hall. Mm-hmm. Well, the cafeteria in college, the dining hall. So I get my food and I don't even know what happened. So I was walking to the table and somehow the tray wobbled and it fell on me. Like the plate, and it slid down me. Slid from my shirt all the way down both legs of my pants.
Oh my God.
It went everywhere. And then the plate had the audacity to hit the floor and be like, you know, like that rolling, like it just was going around. And I was just like, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, I don't even know what to do. My friends were like, they thought it was the funniest thing in the world because it happened to me of all people, because I'm super like OCD and anal. And I was like, help me out. Like, you guys are not being friendly. And they were like, this is the best thing. Like, this was their best day ever. Yeah, just like those kind of things. God, those are just stupid things. But like, those were horrifying moments. Like college, freshman year, I was 18.
That's tough.
Now, yeah.
Everything embarrasses you at that age.
Yeah. So. I mean, now it would be like, oh, that sucks. Like, great. And I got something. I wouldn't even care. But then it was the end of the world. Yeah. And, you know.
Everything was at the end of the world at that age. Right. You look back, you're like, can I have those problems?
Yeah. Though? Now new things are the end of the world and very different. But yeah.
Okay. So again, tell us something. All right, so I just want to ask you a few really simple things that we do in all these interviews, and we're going to jump into where you're more deep and where you are now, kind of situational questions. So,
yeah.
Who's your favorite band? Who is your favorite band?
Lord have mercy. Okay, let me think of who I just downloaded, because I'm really, people still laugh at me too because I don't subscribe to Apple Music. Because you're paying for it, a monthly subscription, and yeah, you can have all your like songs. The minute you decide to stop, you don't own them. Yeah. You don't own them. Yeah. So I still will buy a song. People are like, that's just really weird that you buy music.
Well, because it's yours.
Thank you. So let me see what I just bought. I'm really into just like different and new artists. And it doesn't have to be new. It could be like, I love Common. I'll always love Mary J. Like, those are my classics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then, like,
I've seen them both live.
Yeah, right? Amazing. Mm-hmm. Mary puts on a show. But then it's like, you know, Dave Matthews or Lauryn Hill or just, I'm really... But then there's a whole bunch of new, like the internet. I'm really feeling the internet right now.
Okay.
Check them out.
Okay.
Check them out. The internet. I don't work for them. I would say the internet.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, they're interesting. They're great. They're musical. I'm not into any of this mumble nonsense rap where I don't know what they're saying. They're like, like, that's not music to me. So just clarifying that.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, okay. So, well...
You're adorable. You are adorable. Okay.
So I just saw a great movie that I just can't wait to talk about. But my favorite back in the day, I had three. Splash, La Bamba, and The Princess Bride.
Okay.
And Never Ended Story. Those are like my four, like, those are my dreams. But my, okay, so I just saw, because you know, it's like screening season or whatever, so I just went to see Destroyer with Nicole Kidman. And, okay. You know, like, she's a great actress, but like, I'm always kind of like, oh, she's Nicole Kidman. She's always Nicole Kidman. In this, she transforms like you would not believe. Like, she becomes a completely different person. You can't even physically recognize her. Like, everything about her is so different. Destroyer, Karin Kusama, and it's filmed here in L.A. And it's very interesting because it shows, like, the gritty parts of L.A. as opposed
to... Which I love. I love that.
Yeah, as opposed to, like, La La Land, which is great and enjoyable, but this is a very different film. Destroyer was excellent.
I'll check it out. Excellent. Is this a screener that's coming out, or it's up for nomination?
It's not out yet. She's going to get nominated.
Okay, like, so this is coming out.
It's coming out. It's not out yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. If Beale Street Could Talk was also beautifully shot. Barry Jenkins, who did Moonlight.
Okay.
Excellent. He's a great way with the camera.
I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. I will definitely check it out. I just saw Can You Ever Forgive Me?
That's supposed to be excellent. I haven't seen it yet. Okay. I love Melissa McCarthy. And I love that she's doing something serious as opposed to comedy.
There's rumor that she might get nominated. I don't know.
That'd be amazing. I believe it.
It was very refreshing because, you know, you talk about rap music and blah, blah, blah. And like with movies now, everything. So like, they're jamming everything in your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. This was so subtle and historically correct. Yeah. There's some themes in there that I just love discovering. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because,
And I didn't tell you anything about the story either. Don't look at the preview.
Okay.
Because it'll reveal, like, just go in.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah. It's like, I watched the preview, thank God, after, but I'm like, that's a pivotal, like, why would you put that in the preview?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, now you have a movie to see, and I have a movie to see.
Yes. It's literally on my list, in my queue.
Your favorite word?
I have a not favorite word. Favorite word. My grandfather back in the day would have said my favorite word was like. But, but now my favorite word probably, so stupid, is probably literally.
Okay.
I say it all the time. I'll be like, literally. That's not great. I do read all the time. So people, I am educated. I'm well-read. These aren't big words. Although I was listening to an interview on NPR the other day, and the actor was talking about Buster Scruggs or whatever the new film. And he was like, oh, it's a compendium. And I was like, well, that's a, look at you with that word. I was
that's
like,
on Netflix, by the way.
Is it good? I haven't seen it.
I started watching it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't keep my attention, but it was one of those things, like, I had it on, but I like that. What was the word again?
Compendium.
Compendium. I'll have to look
like,
that up.
Yeah, and I was like, well, look at you using big words. Okay, compendium. All right. So I like learning a new word. And I learned that intense, it's intense. I learned this years ago. I love that I look down to the mic to clarify for the audience. I learned this years ago. So it wasn't just the other day, but I was always in my life being like, intensive purposes. It's intense and purposes. Yeah. I was reading my book and I was like, oh my God, mind blown.
Yeah, it's just
intense and purposes.
What is that? Old wives' tales?
Yeah.
For years, I thought it was, when I was much younger, I thought it was old wives' tales.
That would make sense, too. So yeah, like, but old wives' tales.
Old wives' tales. So,
yeah, intensive purposes. It's intense and purposes. Which I love telling people, I'm like, oh, just so you know, it's intense and purposes.
There you go. See, she's well-read.
Yeah.
You just proved it.
See, thank you. So I'll take my like and literally. I can still say them.
All right, so something simple, then we're gonna jump into the rest of it. What's your favorite food?
Strawberries. I think it's pretty easy.
Oh, you're so healthy.
Strawberries
and
lettuce. That sounds
holy crap, really? Well, she's thin and gorgeous, so I guess I better get on Etta, you and I gotta get on the lettuce and the strawberry diet.
No.
Do you put the strawberry in the lettuce?
No, I don't, like, separate. So when I was little, like, it's very weird. My family was like, something's off with this girl. So I would get salads, and, like, I couldn't. And when I say salads, it's literally lettuce with, like, olive oil and lemon juice and salt and pepper. Like, but I could not get it. Like, I could not eat it fast enough, which is just so. And I would put my fork down and just start shoveling it with my hands. And they were like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, this lettuce is so good. Yeah. So it's like.
Oh, my God.
Pop. Yeah. I love.
You're killing me, Smalt.
Yeah, lettuce was my jam. It still is. I could dive in, like, a bed of lettuce. And, like, Mendocino, I get so excited about lettuce. Like, all different types. It makes me so excited. There's, like, I mean, there's just so much. I go to the farmer's market, and I just get so excited when I see the heads of lettuce. It's true. And not iceberg, but, like, there's so much. I mean, there is. There's arugula. There's frisée. There's just so much. I could go on and on and on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, butter lettuce. That's my new jam. Huh? I'm just making you laugh. It's so true. And I have so much, yeah, I love it. I do. Let me think of what else I just got really into that I'm like, yes, lettuce is so good. Like, I mean, they call it baby lettuces, but it's just like, oh, man.
Well, you just put the rest of the podcast, the rest of the Public Words Project alum to shame. We had fried chicken, mac and cheese, pizza.
I do love pepperoni pizza.
Who did Rami like? Oh, fried chicken, yeah. So,
funny. And then I'm like, lettuce.
Lettuce.
I could eat it alone. Like, I'll just go and eat, like, just pieces of it. And I don't share my salad. Like, everyone knows it's a hard rule about me. At, like, a restaurant, like, I will share. But, like, no, you don't. No, get your own. This is mine. You're not getting it. And if it's a vinaigrette, oh, yeah. I'm telling you. And I should be like.
Oh, the animation. This is fantastic. Oh, my God. Oh my God, you are killing me. I would have never expected this from you. This is why I love doing this.
My cheeks are hurting. I'm thinking about salad so much.
Oh my God. Because, you know, eventually when they're all done and, like, we have all the PWP. I wanted to have, like, a buffet with everybody's, like, favorite foods. Okay, who's bringing the lettuce and the strawberries? Here we go. Oh my God. No, that's great, because we all have our little...
Yeah. I mean, I love, like, French fries. That's a weakness. And, like, pepperoni pizza. Those would be my other, but, like, if I could have, like, I just could have lettuce forever.
Oh, my God. Dr. Wilson, he loves deep dish pizza, and we had a meeting last week, and he took me to this place out in Echo Park.
Oh, yeah, Masa. I'm a big food person, so I've got a whole... Any place you tell me, I'm like, I know. Masa. Yeah.
It's
so
fantastic.
You have to let them know early, because they have to prepare it. They make it, like, it's like a whole...
Wow, you are a foodie. Yeah. 45 minutes. We had the spinach and tomato one.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, do you want this? I go, no, get whatever you want.
Yeah.
When I go to restaurants and it's someone's jam, I'm just like, you get what you want. I will try that. That way my food experience varies. And I was just like, all right, cool. And it was fantastic.
I should show you my list. No, like, I'm no joke. Like, I have it broken down by neighborhood, like, all over the city. And then I have, like, genres. Like, I just
Wow, love. You don't play.
No. And people, somebody... people, I like show food people in the industry and they're like, this is a great list. And then somebody tried to send it to themselves. They did. And I was like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
And you sent this
to
you.
Oh, you like showed them on their phone. Yeah. And,
then they sent it to themselves. And I was like,
oh, that's not cool. That's
that
not
is
cool.
time and F like, oh, and I do not like that girl. Ugh, whatever.
No. Well, that's not cool. You need to ask. And that's kind of shady. Mm-hmm.
She was. The moss is good. I'm glad they have really good bread too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
just yeah. like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Wow, I'm impressed. My world's getting rocked by my neighbor right now. This is awesome. Okay. So you, the rumor is, is that you're a talented actress.
Thank you.
Talented actress. I'm teaching people on public speaking, but I've been laughing so much. My mouth is like, you are a talented actress and a budding comedian.
Yes, I would.
And when I say comedian, you are a budding stand up comedian.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I want to know how the hell you get from like BC.
Yeah. Yeah.
This nice little spiral, this little dance, HBO. That, and how did you land? Tell me how you got to the wanting to be an actress.
Gosh. Well, I knew when I was little that ever since I was little, I wanted to be an actor. I was like, that's what I want to do. I saw the movie Dracula and I was like, I'm changed for life. Like,
okay.
But I just kind of stayed in the path. I mean, I was always kind of doing it in high school, the musicals. And when I went to college, I was taking the classes, but I didn't major in it. And then when I graduated, I got this great job at HBO. And so I was like, I'm not going to give this great job up. No. Like, you know, so I was trying to go like on auditions and all that while it, you know, there, but it was a full-time job. So it was really challenging to be like, oh, like I'm going to the dentist. And then, or like, I am sick. And then I come back with like a full face of makeup. So interesting enough. So finally I like, when I was like, I made the decision to just kind of like, I'm leaving New York. I'm going to come to LA and just see what happens. Give up all my stability and everything, you know, for this, so when I got out here, this is actually really interesting. I was like, well, how am I going to make money in the meantime until everything, I get my team and all that, like all my people together. So I like my people. but this is weird. So in New York City, you walk everywhere, right? And so in the summertime, like my flip-flops, I would get stopped all the time on the street for my feet.
Okay.
They'd be like, you have really great feet. Oh, this really is going in a direction. Feet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. I have nice feet. So when I got here, I was like, I wonder if I can make money off of my feet in a legitimate way.
No, I understand the qualifier. No, I understand the qualifier.
Like, just being clear in a legitimate way on my feet. And I Googled this parts agency and...
You said you Googled a parts agency. Agency, okay.
Body parts models. And it came up. I said parts agency and it popped up. And at that time, she was the only one in the business doing it. And I had an open call the next week. So I went to the casting call with my feet and she was like, oh, you have great people, you have great hands too. And I was like, oh, do I? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then like another week later, I booked OPI, which is big nail polish, the Spring India campaign for my hands and my feet. So it was like the Indian theme. And then from there on, it was like the rest is history. Like they made me sag. My hands and my feet made me sag.
That's very handy.
It
no
is.
No pun intended. That was funny.
It was a lot of hand jobs that got me here. So lots of hand jobs. So that got me SAG, and then that was able to kind of give me license to kind of then find a team and get commercial representation, theatrical, all that kind of representation in the meantime. So then found the team, so auditioning, you know, commercials, print, all that kind of stuff. But then people have always been like, oh, you're funny, you're funny. Like, you were trying stand-up comedy, and I was like...
Yeah, you're funnier than I realized.
Okay, thank you. Thank
you. Well, because we talk in the neighborhood and stuff, but like...
But never like...
No one's made me bust up on my own podcast like that.
I can't wait to hear it. It made me happy. So I think that like...
Never
going to
look at lettuce the same way.
Right. Oh, you won't. You're going to be like, oh, you'll always think of me when you see lettuce. I kind of like had an idea of like stand-up comedy. I was like, ugh, standing in front of those brick walls. And I was like, oh, that's just not me. But finally friends were like, take this class. Like, pretty funny women. She writes for a bunch of people. Like, she's a funny comedian. Like, take the class and see. I did it and it clicked. And she kind of lets you figure out how like what your comedy is. And like, you have to be able to write and perform it. And, you know, but she figures out like, okay, well, this is your thing. You're a storyteller. Which I mean, she's like, you're a storyteller. So just your jokes are going to be in your storytelling.
Yeah.
And it sort of has been budding since then, and like, which is crazy, and it's been going really well. So
that's great.
And there are people. There's another girl who's hilarious, and we started about the same time. But she performs like 5-6 nights a week. You know what I mean? Which is great, and she probably will get much faster, quicker success in it. But I also don't necessarily want to be a stand-up comedian. That's not. It was just another vehicle to open other opportunities and other doors for me. And I like it. I enjoy it. And sure, I'd love a Netflix special. I already know what it'd be called. But it's like, yeah, you know, so I do it and I enjoy it, but acting and I think writing, I'm really passionate about like writing. So I just figuring it out.
That's a great thing about stand-up comedy. Yeah. You write your own material. Yep. You get to experience and express it right away.
Yep.
One of the things that I do with Public Words Project is, like I told you one time when we were passing each other, I did stand-up comedy 105 years ago.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And I did it for 5 years and I got pretty far, but I didn't have the ego to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have a certain level of ego to keep going to the extent that I needed to go.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you this because I use a lot of, I studied under George Lopez and I had the same comedy coach. Yeah. His name was Danny Mota. This was like 104 years ago. And
people think my dad looks like George Lopez, but anyways, keep going. Yeah.
I've seen your dad.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen George Lopez.
They're like, who's this George Lopez looking dude? Mm-mm. I know. I think it's the gray hair. I know.
We're going to go offline with that one later on. But,
okay.
The skills taught in stand-up comedy, the basic skills are amazing for storytelling, for public speaking, for audience management, for handling hecklers. And when I coach young people, I go through a handful of improv and stand-up comedy.
So important.
Stand-up comedy taught me so much more than when I took my public speaking classes at school.
Yeah.
Because they teach you 1, 2, 3, right, left, down the center. Yeah. They tell you how to deal with the hecklers, if they're up front or if they're in the back or they're in front, how you deal with them. And, I did stand-up comedy at this bar in Westchester, and they were people have heard this before, and it was a bar out way in the South Bay where people who just got out of jail went and hung out. The guy who booked me didn't tell me. And I went with my friend, and it was just like, and you had to work blue. And I was just like, you know, I had a very funny, like, I'm a 5'7" Mexican girl. It's hard to date people because, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm taller than the average, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And like corny things, like, anyway, so I wasn't blue enough, and a guy walked up on stage and I was just like, oh my God, I was hit. So it teaches you how to deal with things.
Yes.
And it teaches you how to deal with things with your mind and your words as opposed, and you trial by fire. So
yeah,
it's a great tool.
It is. And interacting, being present with people and like, and knowing your audience.
And knowing your audience.
You've got to switch your humor depending on the audience. And that's just in real life. You got to switch, you know, you got to switch up depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah, like when you're public speaking or you're giving a presentation, it's about your audience. It's not about you. And it also teaches you how to use your body and your own personal blocking when you're going to be addressing, and how to manipulate an audience with just your hands and your face or the tilt of your head and its rhythm. And earlier you said your favorite number is 3, but that's the magic number in comedy, 3.
Mm-hmm.
See, you were meant to be. So
anxiety. So anxiety. It's like nothing else. It feels great when you're up there, but then like the whole day, I'm just like, I'm not a human being. I just like can't function. Eventually, I think after years, I'll get rid of that. But in the meantime, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of work and it's tough. And then sometimes you go up there and it's like, I did stand-up comedy in London one night. It went on for 45 minutes. At that time, I only had 10 minutes worth of material. I was going and going because it was a great room. And they were just so engaging. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And then I came back to LA. You just never know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to kill it.
And yeah.
And then you got one person picking their nose. It's just like somebody who's just like, there's always some... There's always some asshole in the audience who thinks they're funnier than you.
And they're like, oh, I could draw that joke. And they're like, no, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And it depends too, because sometimes you might just get a quiet audience.
Yeah.
And it's just like the mood of the audience. Yeah. So it's just like, oh. Or you go up after somebody who was like nasty and heckled the crowd. And then it's like, now you got to bring the mood back up. Because it's like, you just never know what you're going to get. You never know.
I had to go up after Sam. This is, I made you myself. I had to go up after Sam Kinison when he was at the Laugh Factory. This was a long time ago. That's when I used to do stand up. And I was like, what?
That would be rough.
I just got up there. I was just like, I'm going to tell 3 jokes. I'm going to tell you 3 stories because I'm a story driven. I was story driven too. And I told 3 and then people were laughing. I'm like, thank you very much. I'm leaving. They're like, no, we want more. I'm going,
you're like, that's it. I'm out. That's what
leave them laughing. You're laughing. I'm out of here. So,
exactly.
But,
I have a show December 13th, Laugh Factory.
Oh, when?
Say again? December 13th.
Laugh Factory?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, well, send me the information. I'll put it on the Instagram.
Oh my God, I will.
And then so stand-up comedy, story-driven.
Yeah.
What's your favorite stand-up story right now? experience so far?
Like for me?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, it's, I don't know. My first time, actually, I'm glad it went as well as it did. It was a great first time I got up there, and it could not have gone better, which I think was great, because then I don't know, my personality, had it not gone well, I'd been like, yeah, maybe this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. So because it went really well, it was great and allowed me to keep going with it. But since then, yeah, I've had shows where like, oh, people weren't as receptive, like for whatever. Oh, you didn't ask me that. I'm thinking about I have a favorite, but then I have one that I was like,
oh no, share.
Well, no, there was one. So a friend of mine who I know through like dance, he's like, oh, I'm starting a comedy show, like come. And he's young, and it was like all millennials. Like when I say like millennials, like young 20s. Mm-hmm. Or aren't they? I don't know if that there's some millennials. It might be some below millennial. But anyways, they're young. But all their humor, every single comic got up there was talking about like farting, pooping, sex. Like it was all bodily functions. And I was just like, oh.
Little bro
comedy. I was like, they're just not. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's not my thing at all. Which is fine, but it's not my thing. And I was like, they're just not going to get me. Mm-hmm. And they really didn't. And they were like, oh, like people who got me. But the people who didn't were like, oh. So that was weird. I was like, okay, all right. You guys like talking about farts. that's easy, but no thank you. And then I guess I took the summer off from comedy because it's very stressful and I wanted to relax. But then I just had done a show a couple weeks ago at a comedy store and I had taken like 4 months off. And that show, I was trying a whole bunch of new material and I was like, I don't know. I didn't do an open mic. I was just like, it's going to work or it's not.
But and that's exactly right.
Yeah. But what I did that, like right before I went up, I was like, I took myself out of it and I said, I'm funny. And the way that if I just tell the story, that'll be funny. And I just was super present with the audience and everything, and it could not have gone better. So that was that's my future advice to myself, just stay super present as much as I can be. And then it can't really be bad, you know, as best you can be and not think about like, are they laughing? Are they not? Like just telling the story.
Have you ever been shy in any parts of your life?
No, I'm always pretty outgoing. I think like if I find somebody attractive, if I'm like, oh, that guy's cute.
Yeah.
That I lose all boldness.
Get all dorky.
All boldness. Yeah. When I'm like, who are you? Who's this person? Like, what do you, be you. But of course I can't be. That happens all the time.
I'm just curious because you know, a lot of this work that I'm doing and like the podcast is like, you know, finding paths.
Yeah.
And what?
No, I'm just like, oh, we're chatting for so long.
No.
This is great. Okay.
It's wonderful. That's why I had to ask. Cause like, I haven't seen a shy part of you. I mean, since we met each other, but I'm just like wondering, there was a path. Cause like I was deathly shy.
Interesting. And then you went into.
Yes. I was deathly shy. I was very comfortable around my family.
Yeah.
And like one time I was talking to my dad, he's like, you're shy. I'm like, Dad, being around family is one thing. Yeah. And then like, I don't think that, you know, you can't tell your parents everything as you're growing up, but there were experiences that happened in high school and college. And some very racist experiences that dampened my spirit and made me shyer. And then I had to learn to undo that. And college helped with that. Because dumb people can say some really dumb things and really... And if you're smart, you just process it and soak it in. And then you have to realize, wait a second, you have to figure out how to not... You have to find a workaround and how to not to own it. But that's...
Yeah.
So that's why I was asking, like, did you ever have any level of shyness? And like,
no, I think I've always been like, I'll never forget freshman year of college. This girl, I can't remember with a V. It was some dumb name. But it was so, because at college, everyone's coming together from all different experiences and private places or whatever. Yeah, but like, we're talking about veins or whatever, and the veins on my arm. And she was like, oh my God, I can see your veins. And I was like, why would you not be able to see my veins? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, just like your brown skin, I didn't think you'd be able to see veins. And I was like, well, okay, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. But I was like, yeah. And so I stopped talking to her after that. I was like, ugh. So I just like,
no,
we don't need to be friends. You know what I mean? No. So it's just like, yeah.
Well, I admire you for that because it's taking me 20 years to learn exactly what you just said. So I'm finally at that. I don't need you.
You just got to be like.
Yeah. So the acting portion of it, what's the part that attracts you to it?
For me, I think I'm funny and I talk to everyone and I'm chatty and I'm super extroverted, but I'm also really private. Like I'm a very private person. So I think what always attracts me about acting is like you get to live out sort of these other experiences or experience all these sort of emotions through someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you, but it's not. You know what I mean? So I think that that always attracted me.
So my question to you is because I, you know, like I told you earlier, my degree is in theater arts.
Yeah.
And but I started out stand-up comedy and then I was a sociology major. Found stand-up comedy, realized I wanted to go into the arts. So I didn't like the fourth wall. I liked being direct with the audience. That's what I was comfortable with. And the only the types of plays I really enjoyed were Shakespeare, especially his asides, because I love asides. I love breaking the fourth wall. So I'm asking you, like when I went into the theater and I had to learn how to act, I was, oh my God, I didn't like the fourth wall. I didn't feel any kind of connection with it. So ask me, answer me this. Stand-up comedy, walls gone, acting, yeah, fourth walls up. Which works for you and why?
I mean, acting's so much easier. I enjoy that fourth wall. You're not going to be, I mean, yes, you can be judged. I'm saying you're not judged. It's like your job and your role to learn these lines and emote that as honestly as you can. But the comedy, there is no fourth wall. So it's you bare. It's you. So it's either going to like you or they're not. Mm-hmm. And that is always like super tough and just.
Yeah. The fourth wall is gone. It's just you and the audience.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm such a people pleaser that I'm like, oh my God, I want you to like me. I want everyone to like me. And everyone's like, well, that's not going to work in life. You're not everyone's, you know, you're not everyone's flavor. But I'm like, no, but I am.
So what kind of training have you done for your acting?
God, I did a lot. I did like Susan Batson when I was in New York and another woman, Diane Ainsley, who I loved.
What disciplines are those?
Susan Batson does Black Nexus, which is her kind of thing. She trained Nicole Kidman.
Jesus, like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, she's very specific in her, it's her own kind of approach, and she does a little bit of everything. Diane Ainsley was a little more, like, Meisner-esque.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when I came out here, too, I did Playhouse West, which is all Meisner. Okay. And so that was like, that, I mean, you just start from the beginning where you just have to keep saying the word. You're like, hi, 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 hi. And I was like, oh, you know.
But that's what I use. Yeah. Yeah. So hi, a lot of people don't know that. Like, yeah, I get it. But it's important to know, especially when you're public speaking.
But I think, like, I think I found teachers, too, that, like, incorporate a whole bunch of, a little bit of all of it and kind of mash it together, you know, and say, okay, well, here, we're going to take, like, Uta Hagen. We're going to do it, like, and just make it, you know, I don't know. Everyone has sort of their own method, and I'm just, you know, my questions is like, who am I? Who am I speaking to? What is it they want? And what am I doing to get what I want?
So you do film acting, television acting. Yeah. Tell me the difference between those two. And don't worry about the time. We have plenty of time.
No, I think that, well, TV, it moves really quick. Really, really quick.
And your vocalization is different, right? Because you're mic'd.
Yes. Okay. And you just got to be ready to go. And I'll never forget. So I booked The Mentalist. That was like my first thing. And
nice.
I was at first, I was like, oh my God, I was so nervous. I was dying. But I kept thinking, like, it's going to happen. Like, I booked it. I can't back out of it. Like, and each time the day was going to close, and I was like, oh my God, it's the day off. Like, we're an hour away, I'm in hair and makeup. And I'm like, it's happening. There's nothing I can do. And I'll never forget the director. So we get there, and it's like myself, this other girl, and then Simon. Oh my God.
What's his last name?
I know.
I know who you're talking about because I watched it.
Simon
show.
Baker.
Yeah.
And the report is good. He's great. He's very nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was really good. But then they were like ready to go for the line. And my line, it was in English what I said. It was just because it was too much of an overload. And I was like, it did. And I looked at the director's eyes and he had a look of fear. Like, just a straight panic. Like, what are we going to do? Like, we need her in this role. Mm-hmm. How did she book this job? Mm-hmm. It was sheer terror in his eye. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't have him be nervous. So I was like, get it together, Ariel. And then after that, it was good. And he was so really, could tell the relief. He was like, that was good. He was nervous. So I think, that was, and then movies, just like, there's more time. And I've never done a soap opera. Soap operas are ridiculous. Those people, like,
they're copy it. Yeah. And the actors, every night.
Yeah. But they literally have their script like right in front of them. And they'll be like, put it down, do the scene. Read the script back up. Memorize the line. Put it down. Let's do the scene.
That's kind of like Saturday Night Live. That's what they do.
That's crazy. Yeah. I would like to maybe like a writer on the show. And then
I hear it's a hard life.
Yeah. I don't, because everyone talking about being on it. They're like, yeah, that's challenging. That's because it's exhausting. But I was like, a writer could be interesting. And then I get to host it one day. Like, that would be the dream. I guess hosting's more fun.
It's nice to see people of color on Saturday Night Live finally.
Finally.
Because there for a while, it was like very Irish and very super Anglo.
But they still didn't know how to place, like, Sasheer, who's not on anymore. Sasheer Zamata. She's really funny, mm-hmm. really smart. And she was on a lot. Like, they brought her on, and she was really funny. But Leslie Jones, great, but, like, I'm not her humor. But there is a new funny guy. I can't think of his name. He's really, Keenan's been on forever. But there's a new funny black guy on it who is just so funny.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about because I've been watching it, but I don't know their names yet. He's but so see, funny. I grew up, I'm aging myself, I grew up with Jane Curtin. And, you know, I grew up with the original one. So it's like, it's always been a little different for me. But
yeah, that's what I mean. God, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, right? And
yeah.
And Gilda Radner?
Gilda Radner, Jane
Curtin.
That's
crazy. Yeah. I can't even fathom it.
Yeah, it was just, it was complete, wonderful madness. I used to like sneak out of my grandma, because I'd stay with my grandma a lot, and go watch it on a little black and white TV.
Oh.
And then she'd hear me laughing, and she knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretended to like, I'd come back, and she's like, the things grandparents that you do, right? So, all right. So, they got the stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the TV and the
film. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me when you're, have you done stage?
I just did musicals in high school. Okay. So that does not count. I mean, it's fun. And I was a dance. It was fun, but it was not.
Because that acting is different. You have to be large. You're on voice. Even when you're mic'd, you got to be on voice, and your vocalization and your animation has to be larger.
So the people in the back can see you. They're paying the same amount. You know, not paying the same, but like they're paying their money for their experience as well. Yeah.
Because I remember when I was, So then I had actor friends who were in the theater, got their degrees, and then they would go to the TV, and I'd go with them to the auditions, and they'd be loud and big, and they're just like, no, take it down.
Bring it down. Exactly. Like, no one, you're like, oh. I'm a big musical person. Like, my mom hates musicals, but if I could sing, I mean, I think I can, but I can't. My dream would be to be on musicals and Broadway. Like, that would be my dream, but I can't sing. And I've never been, like, a huge theater person. She's a big play. Like, plays to me, they're just always depressing. Just depressing. I'm like, can we get a happy play? Or just, like, I don't know. They're just heavy, which is terrible. But, like, musicals make me smile. You can't even think of a happy play. Exactly.
I'm thinking.
Good luck.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. Oh, my God. Chekhov. Jesus Christ.
Think of a happy play.
Oh, my God. The Cherry Orchard in college. Talking about something I couldn't relate to at all. Anything Chekhov. I was just like, my God. I'm a girl from the hood. I'm like, Cherry Orchard. Who cares? But anyway, there was some other stuff. But so I'm going to probably ask to do the podcast with you again sometime in the future, because I'm loving this. But also, we have just a couple minutes left, but don't feel any pressure.
Okay.
Don't rush. I want you to think about what advice you can give to young people who are trying to find their voice.
Yes. Okay. Gosh. I mean, I still apply this to this day. Like, I think even just like fake it till you make it. You know, you'll go into a room and feel so unprepared or not ready for it or not think that you're right and have all this like self-doubt and judgment. But then when I just say fake it until you make it. Like, just think you're supposed to be there. Pretend you're like, just even if it's like, oh, it feels so false. They don't know. You know what I mean?
It's called imposter syndrome.
100%. Yeah.
Because Dr. Parker brought that up. So it's just like, even when you're qualified.
Yep.
Sometimes women of color or women or people have that like, and then that takes it to that sense of fake it till you make it. So, but there's also this authenticness in what you're sharing, because you shared something similar earlier where you said about your stand-up comedy, you said you were successful and enjoyed it because you were present.
Yes.
So can we mash that all up? Like fake it till you make it, but be in the moment of that.
Yeah. But being you, you know what I mean? Because I think that's all you can ever be is you, because there isn't another you. And that's what's like, you want to compare so much or look at other people's career paths and like why they're where they are and you're not there yet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you just have to be like trusting it. Like your path is like your path, and like there is only one you, you know, there's nobody else that's like you. So you just have to just have that come across, and whatever your situation is, just like, that's what I think people are drawn to, you know, like the originality, your personality, not the other person's like, oh great, we got one of them, but we definitely don't have somebody like you, you know? So I think that that's all really important for sure, because there's always going to be moments of self-doubt and judgment. And hey, more power to people who don't. That's awesome. That's a skill that I have not mastered yet. So
it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
It's wonderful being your neighbor.
Yeah.
This has really been really just awesome. And
thank you.
We're going to keep track about how many people bust me up. And right now, Lettuce and Ariel just fucking slayed me. Wait, I can't cuss. Hold on. Okay, well, I mumbled that, so it's
all right. Yeah, you did.
So do you have any social media you want to share?
Yeah, sure. Okay, I hate even giving my Instagram name, because my name, which is Ariel Paredes, every version of it is taken. This one guy, like, took Ariel.Paredes, Ariel Paredes. Like, it's annoying.
Okay.
So all versions of my name are taken.
Okay.
So my handle is RelWorld3, okay? R-E-L world and then the number three. Okay. Because I used to love The Real World. That was my jam. I was like, The Real World.
Oh my God.
Which I know, back in the day. And so I was like, RelWorld, that's a play on words. And it's RelWorld3 currently. Okay. Yeah, that's my Twitter and all that. But so RelWorld3. Eventually it's going to have to change, because I did already get, though, the Ariel Paredes.
Oh, well,
that's going to come in handy.
Yep.
Not yet. But I have it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is such a joy. And stay tuned. Share this with your friends. And come visit us next week for more fantastic information and podcasting. And you're awesome.
Thank you. This is the best. Public word.
Say bye. Bye, everyone.
Public works. Oh, my God.